Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So you sent over this lecture transcript on Old Testament history, and well, it's really got me thinking. It's all about Genesis 24, the story of Isaac and Rebecca. But what's really fascinating is how it dives into like how we actually interpret historical texts in the Bible.
Yeah, it's a really important question.
Is it just about like the facts, the who, what, when, where, or is there like something deeper going on?
Yeah, it's a question that goes way beyond just this one story. You know, how we interpret these narratives, it really shapes our whole understanding of faith, history, and how we live today, even.
Absolutely. The lecture starts off talking about Abraham, who's like clearly a pivotal figure,
For sure.
but it points out that he wasn't exactly, a saint.
He fathered Ishmael with Hagar before Isaac was even born. And the lecture makes a point of acknowledging that, yeah, he's got these human flaws.
But here's the thing, like, despite his imperfections, Abraham becomes this incredible model of faith. Think about it. He leaves his homeland based just on God's promise. He believes he'll be the father of nations when it seems totally impossible. And he's even willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac.
It's another level.
A whole other level of trust.
Absolutely. Talk about faith. And then there's his descendants. Oh, man, that's where it gets crazy.
I know, right?
You're talking about the lineage that leads to both Isaac and Ishmael, which like links to Jewish and Arab nations today. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about the scope of his impact.
It really is. It's a powerful reminder that these stories from like thousands of years ago, they still resonate in our world
They
today.
do, they really do. Okay, so let's jump into Genesis 24. We've got Abraham, he wants to find a wife for Isaac, but he's very specific about where she should come from. What's the deal with that?
Well, so he sends his servant back to his homeland to find a wife for Isaac, but it has to be from his own people. Abraham is totally adamant that Isaac should not marry a Canaanite.
Interesting.
This might seem like a small detail, but it says a lot about Abraham's commitment to preserving his family's faith and
It's
heritage.
like he's trying to build like a spiritual legacy, not just like a family tree, And then his servant, he meets Rebecca at a well. It's almost too perfect, like a scene out of a movie.
It really is a cinematic story. But the lecture, it doesn't just retell the story. It really digs into all the different ways people have interpreted this passage over time. And one approach is this thing called the allegorical method.
Allegorical. Okay, break that down for me. What does that even mean?
So it's basically like turning the whole story into one giant metaphor. You know, Isaac represents Christ. Rebecca becomes the church. The servant symbolizes a preacher spreading the gospel. And even the camels get their own symbolic meaning. Everything points to a deeper spiritual truth.
Whoa, that's pretty creative. But I mean, how do you even know what symbolizes what? Could you just make the story mean like anything you wanted using that method?
And that's actually one of the critiques that the lecture brings up. It can feel very arbitrary. Like, how do you decide that camels represent those who need, instruction in one interpretation and then like sin in another? And more importantly, like, does it move us further away from the historical context, from what actually happened, you know?
That's a good point. It seems like you could miss the forest for the trees with that approach. So, what's the alternative?
Well, another really common approach is called the exemplaristic method. And this one's all about finding examples to follow or avoid in the character's actions.
So, like Abraham wanting Isaac to marry a believer, that becomes a lesson for like parents today on the importance of shared faith in choosing partners for their kids.
Or the servant's prayer for guidance. That becomes a model for how we should seek God's will in our own decisions. And then you've got Rebecca's helpfulness at the well. It's presented as an example of what a good wife should be like.
I see. So it makes the story feel like way more applicable to our lives for sure. But even with this approach, I'm thinking there's got to be a potential pitfall. Like, how do you choose what's actually exemplary? I mean, the servant asks for a sign. Are we supposed to do that too?
You've hit on a key challenge. It really raises questions about like interpretation and even the nature of divine guidance. Plus, this method can become too focused on just human actions, you know, what we should or shouldn't do, and we can lose sight of the bigger picture.
So we're back to like missing the forest for the trees. It's like we're so busy trying to figure out what we should be doing that that we totally forget about what God is doing.
That's exactly. The lecture, it calls this tendency anthropocentrism.
Okay.
Putting humans at the center of the story instead of God.
Ah, I see.
And that's a danger in any interpretation, not just this specific passage.
Okay, so if both of those approaches have their flaws, I mean, is there like a better way to read these historical accounts?
The lecture proposes what's called redemptive historical preaching as an alternative.
Okay.
It's about understanding how each event contributes to the grand narrative of God rescuing and restoring humanity.
Redemptive historical. Okay, I'm listening. Keep going.
Yeah.
So how would that apply to, like, Genesis 24? It's just a story about finding a wife, right?
Not quite.
Yeah.
So from a redemptive historical perspective, it's about God fulfilling his promise to Abraham that his descendants would be a blessing to all nations.
Oh, okay.
Isaac's marriage, it becomes a crucial step in that bigger plan.
So it's not just about finding a wife. It's about God keeping his promises and, like, moving history towards his ultimate goal.
Exactly.
That's a whole other level of depth.
It really is. It's about seeing God actively working through history, and not just in the past, but in the present and future as well.
That's a perspective that could change how people read the entire Bible.
Totally.
If each story is like a piece of a bigger puzzle, suddenly everything feels so much more connected.
And that interconnectedness is key.
Yeah.
The lecture argues that even this seemingly small or like obscure details, they all contribute to the overall picture.
So even those parts of the Old Testament that feel like confusing or irrelevant,
right,
they could actually hold a significance that we've been missing. This is making you want to reread everything with fresh eyes.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
This approach doesn't just tell us, like, what happened. It helps us understand why it matters.
Yeah.
And how it all points to something much bigger.
This is seriously blowing my mind. We've got a lot more to unpack here, so let's take a quick pause and come back to delve deeper into this whole redemptive historical approach. Okay, I'm still like reeling from that idea of history as the foundation of doctrine. It's like we've been reading the Bible with one eye closed. But so if we apply this redemptive historical lens, what does it reveal about other stories in the Old Testament? I know the lecture briefly mentioned like Joseph and Exodus.
Yeah.
What can we glean from those narratives?
Okay, so let's take Joseph first. You know, it's a story full of like betrayal, injustice, years of hardship. But through a redemptive historical lens, you see something really remarkable.
Wait, are you saying there's like a silver lining to Joseph being sold into slavery by his own brothers? I'm not sure I follow.
Think about the outcome, like Joseph's suffering.
Yeah.
It ultimately leads to the salvation of his family.
Yeah.
And countless others during that famine. His story becomes this powerful testament to God's providence, you know, like his ability to work through even the most painful circumstances to bring about good.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Yeah. So instead of like getting bogged down in the details of the betrayal or the injustice, we should be like focusing on how God orchestrated those events.
Exactly.
To achieve like a greater purpose.
Exactly. It's not about, you know, minimizing the human suffering. It's about recognizing that God can use even those trials to accomplish his plan.
It's like those mosaic art pieces where each tiny fragment, even the broken ones, contribute to the overall beauty of the image.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Each individual story, no matter how messy or difficult, it plays a role in this grand tapestry of God's redemptive plan.
Okay. I like that. So then how does like the Exodus fit into all of this? I mean, it's such a central story in both like Judaism and Christianity.
Right.
But I'm guessing there's more to it than just God delivering his people from slavery.
You're right. There's a much deeper layer here.
Yeah.
So the Exodus is often seen as just a story of liberation. But through a redemptive historical lens, it becomes like a pivotal moment in establishing this covenant relationship between God and his people.
So it's not just about like physical freedom. It's about something deeper, like a spiritual bond between God and humanity.
Exactly. God is forming a nation that's set apart for his purposes, a people who would reflect his glory and carry his message to the world.
And that covenant, that relationship with God, that's a theme that continues throughout the entire Bible,
right?
Culminating in Jesus. It's like the Exodus, it prefigures like the ultimate redemption that comes through Christ.
You're exactly right. It's all connected. And this highlights another crucial point the lecture makes. In the Bible, history is the foundation of doctrine. These narratives, they aren't just stories or illustrations. They're the bedrock of our understanding of God.
Yeah.
And his plan.
Yeah. It's like a total paradigm shift. I have to admit, I've always struggled with those Old Testament narratives that seem, you know, obscure or irrelevant.
Yeah.
So how do those fit into this redemptive historical framework?
That's where it gets really interesting. Even the seemingly less significant stories.
Yeah.
They contribute to our understanding of God's character.
Yeah.
And his interaction with humanity. They reveal his faithfulness, his justice, his mercy, his love.
Okay, so we're not just cherry picking the feel good stories.
Right.
Every piece matters. Even the ones that leave us scratching our heads. But let's be honest, like applying this lens to the real world, it can feel kind of daunting. Where do we even start?
Yeah, the lecture doesn't offer any like easy formulas.
Yeah.
But it encourages us to approach these texts with humility.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that our understanding is always limited. We need to be open to like wrestling with difficult passages and seeking out different interpretations.
So it's about more than just like finding the right answers.
Well,
it's about engaging in the process of seeking, questioning, and discovering.
Exactly. And through that process, we not only deepen our understanding of the Bible, but we grow in our faith.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we bridge the gap between like understanding these historical narratives and actually like living them out? What practical difference does it make in our day-to-day lives?
This is where it gets really personal. So it challenges us to examine the narratives that are shaping our own thinking. We all have stories we tell ourselves about who we are, you know,
yeah,
where we come from and what our purpose is.
You mean those narratives can sometimes clash with like the overarching story of God's redemptive plan?
Absolutely. We need to ask ourselves if the stories we're clinging to are they leading us toward truth, hope, and love?
Yeah.
Or are they keeping us trapped in fear, despair, or self-centeredness?
It's like doing a spiritual inventory, but for our personal narrative.
Yeah.
And if those narratives aren't aligned with God's story, then what?
Then we have this incredible opportunity to choose differently.
Okay.
We can intentionally seek out narratives that are life-giving and empowering, mm-hmm. stories that align with our faith and our values.
It's about taking ownership of our spiritual journeys, not just letting ourselves be passively swept along by whatever narrative happens to be popular at the moment.
You got it. And when we view our lives through the lens of God's redemptive plan, it can radically change our perspective.
How so?
Our struggles, they become opportunities for growth. Our setbacks become stepping stones.
Mm-hmm.
And even our failures become part of the journey towards wholeness.
Yeah, that's an incredibly hopeful way to look at things. But honestly, sometimes it feels like we're trying to piece together a puzzle.
Yeah.
With like missing pieces. How do we navigate those gaps in our understanding or those parts of the Bible that still feel confusing?
Yeah, the lecture acknowledges the complexities of interpreting ancient texts. There are gaps in our knowledge, ambiguities in the language, cultural differences that make it difficult to fully grasp like the original meaning.
Yeah.
But the key is to persevere in our seeking.
So it's about embracing the mystery.
Yeah.
Knowing that we may not have all the answers, but trusting that God is still working through those unanswered questions.
Beautifully said. And it's through that ongoing engagement with the text, the wrestling with the mysteries, that our faith truly deepens.
This has been an incredible journey so far, and I'm eager to explore how we can practically apply these ideas to our everyday lives. Let's take another quick pause and come back to delve into that aspect of the lecture. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But I'm still kind of wrestling with this whole, like, how to actually apply this redemptive historical lens to my own life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels so grand and sweeping. Like, how do we bring it down to earth?
It's a great question. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. The lecture doesn't give us like a checklist or anything.
Right.
But it does offer a powerful shift in perspective.
Right.
One way to start is just by becoming more aware of the stories that we're living out.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. We talked about the stories we tell ourselves.
Right.
But what do you mean by living out a narrative?
Think about like the choices, like, you know? The priorities we set, the way we react to challenges, are we living out of like fear, scarcity, or self-preservation?
Yeah.
Or are actions rooted in faith, generosity, and a belief that God is yeah. working through it all?
So it's about more than just the stories in our heads.
Yeah.
It's about how those stories actually like translate into like tangible action.
Exactly.
So how do we make sure our actions are aligning with God's redemptive story? Like not working against it.
It starts with recognizing that we're not just individuals trying to make sense of the world, you know?
Yeah.
We're part of something so much bigger. It's a story that God is writing, and we actually have a role to play.
So it's like we're all actors in this like grand cosmic play.
Yeah.
And our choices, they determine how our character contributes to the plot.
Exactly. And it's not about striving for perfection or trying to like force things to fit a predetermined narrative or anything.
Okay.
It's about surrendering to God's guidance, trusting that he can work through our imperfections and even our mistakes to bring about his purposes.
That takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not all on us to get it right. But if God is the author of this story, does that make our choices less meaningful?
Yes.
Like are we just puppets on a string?
That's a common concern. But think about this way. The more we align our choices with God's will, the more we actually become participants in his redemptive work.
Okay.
Our actions take on a deeper significance, like a cosmic purpose.
So it's less about being controlled and more about like collaborating with God.
Exactly.
That's a really empowering thought.
It is. And,
yeah.
And as we collaborate with God, our lives become a testament to his love, grace, and power. Think about it. Like what if every act of kindness, every moment of forgiveness, every sacrifice we make, what if it contributes to the healing and restoration of the world?
That's a beautiful vision. But honestly, like some days just getting through the to-do list feels like a victory.
Yeah.
You know? How do we live out this grand narrative in the midst of the like the ordinary, even mundane aspects of life?
That's where it gets really exciting. The redemptive historical lens.
Yeah.
It reminds us that even the like smallest acts of love and service,
yeah,
they can have a ripple effect. Think about Rebecca offering water to the servant and his camels.
Yeah.
Just a simple act of hospitality to change the course of history.
It's a good reminder that we don't have to do extraordinary things to participate in God's redemptive work.
Right.
It's about being faithful in the small things, mm-hmm. trusting that God can multiply our efforts for his glory.
Absolutely. And it's also about changing the way we view our everyday interactions. Instead of seeing people as just individuals, we can start to see them as characters in God's story.
All right.
Each with their own unique role to play.
So treating everyone with dignity and respect, recognizing their inherent value as image bearers of God.
Exactly. Okay. And it goes beyond just being polite. Okay. It's about looking for opportunities to extend grace, to offer forgiveness, to be a source of hope and encouragement in a world that desperately needs it.
This whole conversation has been incredibly challenging and inspiring. It feels like I've been given like a whole new framework for understanding not just the Bible, but my own life as well.
It's been a joy exploring these ideas with you.
Likewise.
And I hope our listeners will be encouraged to continue this journey of discovery.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Of course.
May you be inspired to see your own life as part of God's grand redemptive story and to live each day with a renewed sense of purpose and hope.